Hi, I'm Amy Irvine, founder of Rooted Planning Group, and this is Money Roots, a podcast where my team and I explore the real conversations behind financial planning. Because life is about events supported by your dollars and cents. Let's get started.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show today. As I mentioned in the intro, you have an exciting event coming up here relatively soon, and you have quite a journey to that book. I'm excited to hear a little bit more about that from the mouth of the author, I guess, if you wanted to say. Yeah, super excited to have you here. And I know that you have such compassion for those that you are working with. Just as a background, would you give maybe just a little bit, as I mentioned, that, you know, you went through your own journey mm-hmm. when you were writing this book too. And you do, as a money coach, I think all of us know that money and emotion are, like, you know, knotted together, right? There's no separation. Although we try to tell people, you know, separate how you feel right now. And as we're recording this, there's a lot going on in the world that's causing a lot of fear. And so, you know, I'm trying to tell people, let that be over the air and let's not make rash decisions, but it's really hard. So before we dig into all of that, why don't you give us a little bit of background about your journey and what prompted you to write? Well, I know what prompted you based on what I read, that prompted you to write the book, but maybe share with the listeners a little bit more and even dig into how you're working with people as a result.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for having me here. I'm delighted to be speaking with you today. And, well, you know, it is kind of an interesting story. But at the end of the day, I am someone who was not born with a kind of natural money sense. And I ran into so many brick walls as a young adult, including credit card debt and expensive mistakes and having a lifestyle and a vision for how I wanted to spend my time, energy, and money that was much larger than what my teacher salary could afford. And there was just a lot of anxiety. And worst of all, a lack of education. I just had no idea what I was doing. And I felt like a child, even though I had a job and a car and an apartment, and I had to negotiate at work, and I had roommates to sort bills out with. And so I had all these responsibilities, but no skills. And I tried to get well. I tried to educate myself. Fortunately, I was doing a lot of yoga at the time. So I had some self-awareness and some quiet time and places and locations where I was exploring my kind of inner landscape and getting to know myself and why I do what I do and why I avoid what I'm scared of and things like that. Really, at the yoga studio. And so I realized there had to be a better way. Like, I could not continue living this way. It was just so paralyzing and emotional for me. I used to break down in tears anytime I had to talk about money, and I didn't know why. It was just this area where I felt like a total failure. And so I started reading books and series of books. I hired a tutor off of Craigslist to teach me Quicken. I watched webinars. I designed my own tracking system, spreadsheet thing. And all of these were good for a little while, a few months, maybe 6 months, but inevitably I would fall off of the healthy habit. And due to life throwing me a curveball or something unexpected happening or something overwhelming in my social life, and, you know, that would just, like, take me out of the picture, out of the game, and mostly around dating and romantic relationships, and, you know, 20-something adventures. And I even worked with a traditional financial therapist for 6 months. That was very healing, very cathartic. I would basically sob for like an hour in her office once a week. And we did all these exercises, and she put me on a 30-day cash only diet. And I wrote a letter to my dad, which I never sent, which was an exercise in firing my money manager model because I didn't want to do what he did or relate with money in that way. I wanted to create my own story. And all of these things helped. But even at the end of the therapy run, I still did not have a budget. I could not save $5 for 5 minutes. And so I hired a money coach at the suggestion of a friend. I had never heard of that before. I did not know really what I was getting into. But like I said, I was on a mission to fix myself and really to educate and empower myself, because by then I had a college degree, a graduate degree. I got certified to teach yoga. I had all these accomplishments. But I knew I needed to like train and practice in this area. And so that process of working with a coach was consistent for 2 years. We would have one or two sessions a month. And I like people to know it doesn't need to take that long to overcome challenges and to make sustainable changes. But for me, that's what I needed at the time. And it was a lot of handholding, a lot of emotional support. But most importantly, highly practical. Step one, step two, step three. This is exactly what you need to do to track your money, make a spending plan, create a budget, allocate savings, create savings goals. That took months, that little list I just rambled off right now. Like, I don't want to tell people that it was easy, because it wasn't. I had to work hard. I had to ask a lot of questions and have answers repeated to me multiple times. I couldn't even create a budget that was balanced for like the first 6 months. I was just in the red, in the red, in the red. Like, the money fog was so thick. The resistance was so strong. I could not create something that was balanced. But with this amazing woman's help, I did over time in a safe, confidential space. And so things started to expand. Things started to grow. I started to not run out of money between paychecks, like all these little changes. I was able to move to a nicer apartment in a better neighborhood. I turned in my permanently dented car for something I felt more comfortable driving in. And most importantly, my relationships changed. So I was able to show up in my family of origin as an adult for the first time. I was 30 by then. I was able to negotiate for a higher salary. I had that master's degree, by the way, but like, I had never said I deserve more, and they gave it to me. Like, all of these miracles, and I really do call them miracles, because that's not who I was. And but through, again, the training and practice and accountability and making mistakes and two steps backwards but five steps forward, with that support, I was able to make these changes. And so I felt like a completely different person. And the change was so profound, I decided to do the same counselor training program that my own coach had done. And that was a year-long intensive, and that's how I became certified the first time. And I think what people like about working with me is my background in education. So I had taught kindergarten for 9 years throughout my 20s, and I have had many clients, especially women, say, "I need you to talk to me like I'm a five-year-old." I, like, literally, how do you add 2 + 2? I mean, in their financial, you know, that what's analogous to that in their financial life. And I get it, because I was that person that literally needed to be shaped and molded into a financially fluent, savvy, self-supporting adult woman in the house of money. So I think that's my story. It's I had to figure it out myself from zero to functional.
I love that. Zero to functional. Yeah.
And then I was able to teach other people the same process that really works. So yeah, that's why I'm here today.
You know, everyone has a different journey. And I think that that's, you know, one of the things that people will, the word they will use is, "I should know how to do this. I'm an intelligent, well-educated, you know, otherwise smart person. Why can't I get money?" And you made a comment early on when you were talking about your journey that said, "I wasn't born with a natural money sense." And I wrote that comment down because none of us are actually born with a natural money sense. It's a taught skill, right? And I have said that over time and time again. We don't come out of our mother's womb knowing how to manage money. We know how to breathe. We know when we're hungry. We know when we're not hungry. We know basic bodily functions. And the rest is all taught. We don't even know how to talk. Right?
Yes.
We are taught all of that as we progress in our lives. And if we aren't taught that, then we don't know how to do it. And it's a matter of what journey do we go on to understand and learn how to do it? How, you know, is it like me where I went, I love numbers. And so I'm like, okay, I need to go in a field that, you know, involves numbers. And I fell into this, you know, world of financial planning and later into financial therapy, which I realized I was probably doing and just didn't know that I was doing it. I think there's some innateness, you know, but I don't think anybody is born with a natural sense. And as you say, you know, there's so much that's tied to what we see is what we are taught. And so if there's not a healthy relationship with money early in our lives, that means that we probably don't have a healthy relationship with money when we're supposed to start, and I use air quotes, adulting.
Yes.
So, and that brings up a lot of emotion, a lot of emotion. So you mentioned a couple of tools. You also mentioned the training program and the certification that you got. Tell us a little bit about that, because it is a little different than, you know, some people call themselves money coaches and there is training out there, but you actually went a sort of a higher route. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, sure. I've done a couple different certifications over the years. So my original one was with a now defunct organization called the Financial Recovery Institute. And it was a very comprehensive professional training program where you had a mentor. So I was continuing my work with the same financial coach, getting into the layering process of personal finance planning and all of the best practices, all of the essential routines, and everything on the practical side of things. There were also courses and modules around psychology and counselor skills and basic business setup and principles and like that. And so we had a cohort and we all supported each other and presented case studies and got feedback, and it was really great. The founder was Karen McCall. I'm so grateful to her. Oh my gosh. And how lucky am I that her daughter, Terry DeLangis, ended up being my money coach, the person I referenced as really changing my life. They both did. So that was back in 2010. And then several years later, I did a financial behavior specialist certification course, which was five, they were called MBA level classes. I think that was the department that they were in at Creighton University, and taught by interestingly, a father-son pair, the Klontzes, K-L-O-N-T-Z.
Oh, the Klontzes. Oh, yeah.
Brad and Ted. Brad ended up writing the foreword for my book and actually also coached my own family members in my extended family. And so we have a long relationship, and they're incredible, and they're anyway, so they work at the intersection of psychology and wealth management, and they're clinical psychologists and registered investment advisors. Oh, you're holding a book by them.
I am. So, yep. I just, the financial therapy book, which is like our
so good. Your Bible.
Yeah, reference book. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read that and over and over again. There's so much good stuff.
Experts. I have little tags on mine. Yep. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Oh, I'm so happy to see that. And so it was five like I said, graduate level classes on financial psychology around family systems and your personal money story and biases. And, you know, it was very affirming for a lot of tools, interventions, and exercises that I was already using. But then I got the actual research tied to it involved around the best practices as a coach and counselor. And so all of that, in addition to my, you know, master's degree in educational technology and teaching credential. So I don't have a classic financial background around economy, economics, whatever. But I definitely am kind of self-taught, or I have figured it out. So that's why I do what I do, and have had this practice as the SF San Francisco SF money coach for the last 15 years. And I've coached people all over the world now, individuals and couples, as well as multi-generational families.
Yeah, that training and why I got so excited for the average listener, you know, when I heard you say Klontz's, is that I've seen Brad Klontz speak many, many times. I don't know him personally. I've never, well, I met him once, like in passing. You know, I've read not just this, what we call our blue book, our blue reference book, but I've read other books that he's written, and it's the approach of which I've read a lot of financial therapy related books and behavioral finance books, but his approach and the way that he teaches, I guess, really does resonate with my style as well. And you know, whether like you come from that teaching background, which is very helpful. I come from the financial planning background. Interestingly enough, Carrie, when I am talking to students that are in financial planning programs, and they, if they don't ask this question, I bring it up. But one of the things that I think, and I'm glad to see the CFP is requiring a little bit more of it, but one of the questions I often will get is, what classes should I be taking that I'm not taking to be a good financial planner? And I will immediately say, anything related to therapy, you should be taking any kind of psychology, sociology, marriage and, you know, family therapy, individual therapy, anything related to therapy, even if you choose not to be like a financial therapist or a money coach, it's going to make you a better financial planner because you're aware of what the emotion is behind money. And so you wrote this book, it's called At Peace with Money. We're going to have a link in the show notes, for people to go online and order. So perfect. Carrie's holding up the book for me, but it's available on Amazon. I think there's probably a couple other places that it's available as well, but you can get it on Amazon. It's in pre-order stages right now, right?
No, it's out actually.
Came out. Yep. For some reason I was thinking pre-order. It actually came out January 20th. Now I see that date. So it's available right now for people that are interested in it. One of the things that I think even, you know, like those of us that have studied financial wellness, it's a good book for us to read too, because it's peer to peer, but I think it's really something that for somebody who there's this fear of going to somebody and talking to them about money. There's a true fear. And the number of times that, I don't know if you've had this happen or not, but the number of times that people have come into my office the first time, and their anxiety is just like, you can see it just like flowing out of their veins, right? And you just, as we're talking, I'll say, you know, tell me a little bit more about who you are as a person. I want to get to know you before I get to know your digits. Like, give me a little background. And then like the tears immediately start because there's just all this pent up, even though I didn't even ask them a question about money, it's just all of this pent up anxiety about coming in and meeting with me. You know how they talk about when you go into a doctor's office and your blood pressure is high and they call it the white coat effect. Well, I think that happens a lot with us too, right? There's this, maybe not white coat, but that similar kind of reaction, because it's a place that people feel so judged and so vulnerable. And being able to read a resource like this and get some ideas and, I guess some space around it just a little bit, I think is often very helpful. So you actually mentioned, and I brought this up a few minutes ago too, but some tools that you've sort of put together. Now, I don't want you to give away the book because I think it's very important to not take this out of context. But what is one of the reasons that somebody would invest $19 to purchase your book? Like, give us a little bit of a teaser that would make people really want to, and I say investment because it's an investment in ourselves. Why somebody would want to invest this $19? What do you hope they will get out of it by making that investment?
Well, the tagline that they'll find on the back of the book is everything I need to say, which is proof that anyone who can do fifth grade math can master personal finance.
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I wrote the book that I needed to read, right? Mm-hmm. I did share earlier, I read books and series of books. That's fine. There were also several that I started and then got allergic to, right? Like, I could not pick it up again. There's no way I was going
to
finish
that. Tell us a
little
more about that. Sorry to interrupt you, but what does that mean? I love it.
I mean, there's just so much about wealth management and personal finance and money that is so stiff and so masculine and so scary and so buttoned up, and you got to wear a suit and go to an appointment in a skyscraper, and nothing about my book is like that. So I wrote the friendly book. I tell very colorful stories about myself. I really put it out there. I've lived in the Bay Area. I grew up in Michigan, but I've lived in the Bay Area for the last 25 years. I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot, and also have received the stories and life experiences, as I mentioned, from clients around the world. And I share a lot of fascinating, also colorful, anonymous client stories in there. And it's funny as well. I hope people laugh, because it's like, let's just be a little more lighthearted and have open hands and turn the lights on and open the windows around money. Like, and so even though in the beginning I very much had to act as if and fake it till I make it, and I was literally writing down in a checkbook register every single thing that happened to my money. And I did that for 2 years. But that's what I needed to kind of get over myself.
What works. Yeah, if that's what works, great.
Yeah. And so also coupling up with my now husband and all the, you know, mini micro dramas that came up around falling in love and moving in, merging money, and like, the first week we merged money, he went out and bought new golf clubs, and I was like shocked, you know, and navigating things like that. That's a total luxury problem, I get. But yeah. So my approach to personal finance and everything that's in this book is very doable. I think anyone can figure this out. And it's holistic, you know, there's a little bit of spirituality, little bit of woo-woo, but I promise not too much. But, you know, money affirmations actually work. So that's early on in the book.
Well, so one thing that I do want to say, like, to your point, when my husband and I got married, the pastor that married us, he actually asked us, do you guys talk about money? And my husband at the time said, she handles that. And and I said, well, I'm working on that. Like, I want it to be a collaborative thing, but I just don't want to hand it over. And I think that you're absolutely right. And this is a financial planner saying this, but I think anybody can learn this stuff, and I think they can do it. I think the reason we have a job as financial planners is because I choose to delegate it. Like, this is something in my life I choose to delegate. When when I'm working with people, I don't want them to hire me because they don't understand it. I want them to hire me because they want to delegate it. And I think it's really, really important that when you're working with a financial planner, that you actually are aware of what's going on. Like, you shouldn't be in the grays, like the unknown zone. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. You know, that's to me, that's really dangerous. It's that trust but verify, yes, that I often talk about. And a lot of times what's needed is that initially, it depends on where you're coming from, but sometimes what's needed is a coach first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a difference. Coaching gets you to a certain place, and then planning can take you the next step further. But if you skip that step, and it could be parents that coached, right? You might have had that in your life, so you had that coaching first. Right.
Yes, yes.
But in my experience, you actually can't do the planning until you've had some coaching. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love the tagline of your book, because I think as women, I hear a lot that, oh, my husband handles that. Now it's getting better. Mm-hmm. But as women, I do hear that. I used to hear that a lot. And I'm like, so what happens if he dies? I mean, I'm right. A very blunt person, so I'll just ask the question, like, what happens if he dies? And I get that look of, oh, I don't know.
I know. Mm-hmm.
So it's really critical.
It is really important. I totally agree and concur with everything that you're saying. And I think as an adult, if you are... none of us are living in a cave at a monastery, like, and meditating for 14 hours a day, though I did do that for 1 week of time. But but the point is, it's a responsibility. If you want to run a business, if you want to live a certain lifestyle, if you mm-hmm. are in a partnership, or, oh my gosh, if you have children on this planet, like, we all need to learn how to take care of our money. And I like to think about it as a garden that just, it mm-hmm. needs just a little bit of tending week by week. Sometimes it's watering. That's the easy part. Sometimes it's weeding. Sometimes it's pulling something out and excavating and replanting. And also it's seasonal and things change and year by year. I mean, we have these rhythms in our lives, but actually no 2 months are ever alike. And so even the monthly routine of budgeting or creating a spending plan is nuanced. Of course, we have our basic bills, maybe even on auto pay and on repeat. And we understand that
which
number.
Is like dangerous to a certain extent.
Yes, yes. Yes, at one point I had to, at that therapist's suggestion, I undid every single auto payment just to wake up a little bit around money and increase awareness about what I had set up. And then I could consciously reintroduce over time, of course, some auto payments. But yeah, I think that even the more wealth one accumulates over time, the greater the responsibility. And it's not about do it all for me, you know, in hiring someone like you, Amy, but it's help me to understand what I'm signing, right? It's like, mm-hmm. don't sign anything that you don't understand. Mm-hmm. But that's its own set of skills. And that's a lot of what we work on in coaching is mm-hmm. let's make a list of your questions. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing mm-hmm. you say here with me where it's safe. Mm-hmm. In preparation for that financial planner appointment you have in 2 weeks, we're going to write it up. And I've even attended meetings with people with their financial planner to be that safe person and advocate for them and to help them ask questions or in English, but like translate what is happening. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I remember myself not only being overwhelmed with emotion, but literally my physical hearing would go out when someone maybe like you, though, I really like the way you speak and your style, but other financial advisors I've encountered in my life, when they go on these tangents and they're talking about these things and they're using acronyms and it feels aggressive, like it's overwhelming for my system. Mm-hmm. And yes, I may be highly sensitive. I am a Cancer in astrology, but that aside, I deserve to understand what's happening, right? So
I think even I can fall. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I can fall, you know, into that path of using the wrong jargon sometimes. It's especially on really busy days, you know, because my brain is operating at a super quick pace. And so I'm thinking, it's like, this is the way I explain it. So I'd love that you go to some of the meetings, because I'll say to people, look, I realize I've been in this profession since 1994, got a few years under my belt, right? So it's like somebody who has spoken Spanish and English for all of their life. To them, either language just is easy for them to say. But I realize, and I always say, like, if I go into that layer of speaking a language that you know, just remember that to me, that is my first language. And I realize it's not yours. So don't hesitate to say, yo, back it up. I'm not going to take offense to it. And in actuality, I'm not doing my job if I'm talking to you in that way. But I will tell you that it is easy to go down that path. So even though I don't like that I go down that path sometimes, I do it. And I think it's so important what you're saying about having an advocate, especially if you're feeling vulnerable already.
Right.
Really critical to have an advocate to participate in the meetings and to, you know, it's the same thing in medical situations sometimes we hire medical advocates, right, to sit in the room with the client, to set goals for clients, to translate the information. This is the same thing. And so I love that you actually jointly participate in those meetings. And I think for people that are listening to this podcast right now, because I know, you know, we're getting close to wrapping up, but for people listening to this podcast right now, that right there is a great reason to hire somebody that is skilled like you are, that can serve, and at least initially to be that intermediate person that's like, okay, Amy, you're speaking finance, you know, language. You're over here using all these acronyms. And then, you know, client over here is trying, their brain is operating, trying to digest and learn at the same time. And so, and we all know that when we're learning something, we actually need to speak slower. Like the language needs to be slower when we're learning. That's why teachers speak at it. Yeah. So if I get in one of those days where I'm like, yeah, I'm on the go, I got lots of appointments, and I'm snapping for those of you that can't see me, but I notice that my language like speeds up. And if I'm watching, because I do a lot of virtual meetings too, if I'm watching their face, I will often realize, pull it back. Mm-hmm. But I'm guilty just like everybody else. Sometimes I don't. And if somebody like you were in the meeting to be able to go like, woohoo, take it back.
Right. <You know? laughs> Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, and having questions written down, scripts for these things are also very helpful. Even how to choose a financial advisor. What do you ask? What do you need to know? I have all of that written down in my book, in addition to a lengthy script for financial partnership, covering the different phases of financial partnership, because, and this is a result of just like 15 years of relationship mistakes that I made, you know, square peg, round hole type of, and if I had a script like that, I would have avoided so much pain, little T trauma, you know, heartbreak, et cetera, et cetera. Look, it was all tenderizing for who I became, and it worked out with me. And I'm so grateful that I met my husband when I did. And, that's my jam. That's why I'm in this field.
And that's why you wrote this fantastic book that proof that anyone who can do fifth grade math can master finance. We are going to put a link in our show notes for your book, and a link to your LinkedIn page for anybody looking for a coach at this point. You know, after listening to our podcast, if they're looking for a coach, feel free to reach out to Carrie. I assume you're still taking clients, right, Carrie?
Yes.
I should have asked that question. You know, because I think when you've gone through a journey, of course, we always have to make sure that we're not putting our journey on anybody else's journey, right? And that's my own like advice to myself too. But I think that when you have gone through a journey with finance, you have a greater level of compassion for the listener, you know, the person that you're working with. So, you know, I think that this is like coaching. I love that financial coaching has become an actual, or money coaching has become an actual career path as well, because I do feel like there is that void between I want to adult.
Right.
I want to hire a financial planner, but I want to know a little bit before I go in and sit down with that financial planner. And I want to get sort of my ducks in a row. And this is where money coaching, I think, is a great place to sort of, you know, melt in the middle a little bit. Carrie, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And congratulations on your book. I'm sure it was a labor of love.
It was. Thank you so much, Amy. This was really fun.
Again, check out the show notes for the links. And thank you so much for tuning in today. We really appreciate your time, energy, and effort. And just a reminder that life is about events supported by your dollars and cents.
That's it for today's episode of Money Roots. I'm Amy Irvine from Rooted Planning Group. If you found this conversation helpful, we'd love for you to share the podcast with a friend, family member, or colleague who might enjoy it too. And if there's a financial question on your mind, send it in. Your question could be the topic of a future episode, because at the end of the day, life is about events supported by your dollars and cents. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Money Roots.